Hier mensen over mij gaat ze even om naar goed dat ze
We are waiting on the official from Durko. Doing the presentation. But in the meantime, I thought we could then deal with two other matters. The one is to deal with our committee program, and the second is to deal with our minutes of the last meeting with your commission. Is it okay that we continue? Mr. Becker has shared with you the program for the fourth term, which is from the 9th of October to the end of the year. Now, the dilemma with these programs is that we always get to know at the last minute that these programs need to be submitted. Our programming committee is also in difficulty because they keep on changing. A good example of it is tomorrow's sitting. We have an understanding, and then you hear through the informal channels that there is no sitting. But that's a program. The idea is that when we come back from our constituency period on the 10th of October, we'll have to deal with another piece of legislation, which has already gone through the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, which is the National Credit Amendment Law. And then we're looking at the provincial briefings and the provincial hearings. And then another thing that we have to do related to the medium-term budget is to look at the annual reports of the departments that's reporting to us. For us, fortunately, there's only two departments, which is tourism and trade and industry. Rebecca, can you tell us why it is in the color that it is? Why is it green? Speak to the mic, please.
I've been sitting in the color, but this is happening on the week when the provincial public hearings will be taking place. I said, provincial public hearings. Like, I mean, if you can look at 30 October to 2 November that week, but then on the 31st, I mean, on Wednesday, then at least we'll be dealing with the Department of Tourism. That's what it is. Our the river.
Because it overlaps with the other thing. But then, what does the rule say? Do we have to be five provinces to process the APPs? No, then it's not acceptable. Because you're compromising us. We are a small committee. But okay, we'll just note that. We won't go into the detail. Let's just note, colleagues, that that's compromising us. Maybe we need to look at not having our hearings, because I'm worried about the other committee where we have six government departments to deal with. And we also have both in that committee. We'll discuss it in the context of that committee. But my plea for now would just be to say, members, let us look at not compromising our legislative functions, but also looking at doing what we have to do to get the APPs processed. Then on the 14th, we'll look at the 14th of November, we'll look at the written submissions. Then we go back to Gauteng for the second part of taking Parliament to the people. Then we're hoping, you see, the whole of that term we're just going to spend on the National Credit Amendment Bill. When I approved this program, I thought, let's rather have it that way than to have too many things on our program and then find that we burn our fingers. Because also, Honorable Chai, what I think we would want to consider is at our joint management committee meeting how we can make sure that if there is a need, we take some of those APPs of the Department of Economic and Business Development and deal with them on a Wednesday. Honourable members, unfortunately, I'm not presenting this for approval. I'm presenting it to you for your comments. Any comments, Honourable Khai?
No, thank you, Chair. I think what I wanted just to say is that also with my discussion with the committee secretary of the Committee on the Economic and Business Development, we have nothing on the 6th of November in terms of the program. So I'm saying that perhaps this committee could consider having something on that Tuesday as well. I know there are provincial public hearings, so which is not concerning us, but what I don't see they are provincial briefings. I'm just checking if you could utilize that week of the 6th to the 9th for the any program for the Committee on International Relations and Cooperation. If you can go to the closet.
Thanks very much. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because you need it more than what we do, but we'll take it.
For now,
you're right. Because there's entities. Mm.
No, currently we have the two bills, the outdoor and the national land transport. But I know that there's also the competition bill that is coming. So maybe for now let's hold on and not use it. We might use it for that competition bill.
Therefore, I mooted the idea of having this joint management committee meeting so that we can, together with our staff from both committees, look at that. Okay. Thanks, honourable members. The final thing for this part is just to look at the minutes of the meeting of the 5th of September.
Before, Chair.
Sure.
You might want to look into the possibility of changing the second part of the program and have it as committee oversight, because as the program stands now, there's no longer provincial week. So that is going to be, so we might probably through your leadership decide which province are we going to visit and what so that Lupeka and then can start with preparations. Because the program adopted now, which fortunately Honorable Khai was part of it, has changed that. But also in the tracking of the bills before committees, I did not see Honorable Khai the National Credit Amendment Bill. It was there. Oh, okay. But I'm not sure if it's scheduled, because we were doing tracking. I'm not sure if we, because I see that the final mandate is only scheduled for the latter part of the fourth term. Whether, if in your planning, Chair, if you can be able to have an estimated date for presentation in the House, will assist, so that we stick to it and push it, because there's now serious tracking of bills before committee. And according to the report that we got, we should be able to conclude 9 across various committees. And in our case, this is what is happening and also what we are dealing with in the committee of select committee of economic and business development. So those are the only 2 things.
I just wanted to
No, you're speaking like a whoop. Thank you very much. You're raising 3 issues. Let's deal with the first one, the provincial week. Can I throw it back to all of us to say which province would we consider appropriate division. Then we can start working on that. Now that provincial week is not happening.
Okay.
I was thinking, Chair, that the DTI in particular has presented a lot of energy in resuscitating your former industrial parks. We've not been able to zoom directly into them. So if you can choose either, and luckily for us it's spread across various provinces, if we can choose one of the provinces and have that particular zooming into the industrial park, it will assist.
Which province do you propose, Honorable Chair?
Chair, from Limpopo, the last time we went where? To the north?
We went to Lusina.
To the north? No, from the province. From Limpopo, we went to the northwest, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And in the northwest, we went to the industrial park. Can I suggest Mpumalanga, if you agree?
Mpumalanga doesn't have one.
No, no. In
Mpumalanga has Ekandastria.
Yeah, and the Kwandebele kind of a part where the remember that we want to couple your responsibility with Honorable Kai. So we can be able to also speak on issues of moratorium, rail corridors and all those things when we are there. I'm not sure if I'm making sense.
My reservation with that would be to say we've done it the last time that we were there. Remember we went to Ekandastria and Honorable Mtetwa, sorry, Mtimunya, and myself were meant to go back. But I've had a briefing subsequently by DTI. There's still nothing happening in Ekandastria. Evras is open again.
Yeah.
The Evras, I feel, still operating. But other than that, I'm inclined to look at Limpopo, but the problem with Limpopo is that park is isolated, and it is in its infancy stages. Being from Gauteng, I mean, three things that's happening there. There's the innovation hubs. We haven't been to any one of them. There's three innovation hubs. But also, next week I'll be in Ekurhuleni. There is a skills development center in Ekurhuleni, where I would imagine they're doing good things. But then there's also the idea of the O.R. Tambo Industrial Park, where the infrastructure is there, but it's not coordinated yet. So we may want to look at that. Then there is also the developments within the agricultural sector in Gauteng. But I'm not saying let's go there. I'm just trying to entice you. Honorable Khan?
I was going to suggest that let's look at the programs of the NCOP as a whole. If there's a program on which we are going to a particular province, we should not then again go back to that province with another program, because we would have covered. For example, I'm cutting out Eastern Cape, even though we have not gone there as a committee, but at least there are programs that have taken place in the Eastern Cape in the form of taking Parliament to the people, as well as follow-up programs of taking Parliament to the people. So therefore, Eastern Cape has been covered in terms of the oversight, even though it was not a committee oversight, but it was a NCOP oversight. Similarly with Gauteng, Gauteng will be going there as a pre-visit, as a NCOP as a whole. So therefore, we should not go to the step there as a committee, because at least we would have covered Gauteng in that sense. We've been to Limpopo, even though we didn't cover the whole area of Limpopo, but at least we've been to Limpopo. We have been to Mpumalanga, like you indicated. And therefore, therefore we need to perhaps consider another province that recently we have not been to. We've been to the Free State, we've been to Western Cape. Since I started there, I've never been to. I know the committee has been to KZN, but perhaps it could have been a long time ago. But I suggest that maybe we need to consider perhaps the KZN, because maybe it was a long time ago since we went there, and then we go back there as well. So that's what I wanted to suggest.
I'm trying to conclude on the topic.
Yeah, I'm sold by the idea. Can we say KZN in Northern Cape, and then you can decide which one?
Yeah. Honorable Mahwebu, you've been quiet.
I know, he's agreed.
Chair, I'm listening attentively, and I followed the reasoning, and I'm happy with the Honorable Khai, because people from the Eastern Cape, they're always spot on, you know.
Thank you very much. So Lubeka, right. KZN, but also then make sure that you cooperate with Greece. All right. There is the Dube industrial port there, which is going to be important for us to look at. Just yesterday, they signed the agreement for the welcome, sir. They signed the agreement for the fiber optic cable connecting us with the in the coastline from South Africa to Ethiopia, right? To Ethiopia, right? So the whole of those countries there will benefit from that. Thank you very much for that one. While you were delayed, we thought that we'll just do two things. We'll just do the last one quickly. Honourable members, the minutes of the last meeting? Oh, sorry. Rebecca is just saying to me we can't deal with the minutes. We are three provinces. Okay. Let's deal with apologies. We have an apology from the minister and deputy minister, who are both in the cabinet meeting. We also have an apology from the Honorable Dikgale, who is working with our leadership in the NCOP, what do they call the political, what do they call it? Political steering committee that's doing the final plans for taking Parliament to the people next week. So the Minister, Deputy Minister, and Dikgale. Martins?
Honorable Farmer Tutse is briefing to his committee, his province this morning.
Did he give you a written apology?
Yes, sir.
Where is it?
On the computer, sir.
No, the apologies must go to the secretary of the committee. Right. Make sure that you give that to Honorable, to Rebecca. He's spoken to me about that as well, and I did say, and he knows. He's got experience. He knows that we must have something in writing. Honourable members, I have not received formal notification, Honourable Mahwebu. I spoke to Honourable Long yesterday. He's been redeployed to the National Assembly. I have not seen anything formal on that. So he's no longer a member of this committee. Okay, I'm drawing your attention, Honourable Mahwebu, because you can just then with the party make sure that we get something formal. Thank you. The minutes, Honourable Members, it has been distributed long before. I've just looked at it with your permission. I would just want to make two changes to the minutes. Oh, we can. Sorry, thanks for helping me. Yeah, we can. Okay. Then we go into our deliberations of the day. Welcome. We'll give you an opportunity to introduce yourself after you have met us. My name is Eddie Makue, and I represent the province of Gauteng.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Manja Khai, from the Eastern Cape, and member of the Committee on International Relations. trade and international relations.
Good morning. My name is Busima Gwebo from the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Bumat Ontebam from the Northwest.
Thank you very much. And we have then also our support staff and the parliamentary monitoring group that's taking meticulous notes of the meeting. Can we get you to maybe introduce yourself and your delegation as well for the record, please?
Good morning, sir, and thank you very much for the introduction and for receiving me. First, my name is Kenneth Pedro, and I'm the director for the African Union at the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. In the same breath, sir, I would like to apologize for being late. I was delayed at the ICTF cluster meeting this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Swazi Taitai. I'm the PLO in the Office of the Minister.
My name is Lebohang Matsaba. I'm the PLO in the Office of Deputy Minister Mhaule.
Thank you very much. We have renegotiated, honorable members. You remember what was ATC? It was something different than what is before us. The explanation given by Durko was that we wanted to discuss had to be approved by the minister, and did they say it has to go to cabinet as well? And that process has not happened yet, and therefore it didn't make sense to bring it to us because it could be changed. So we then hurriedly agreed that, look, the AU is something that is always with us, so let's have something on the AU. And we appreciate very much, Mr. Pietro, that you were able to do this presentation, to send it to us in time, and we are anxiously looking forward to receiving it now.
Thank you very much, Chair. The presentation that I will be doing will consist of a very short background. We will look at the aspirations of Agenda 2063, Agenda 2063 in focus, then the flagship projects, which would be the most interesting part of it all, and then obviously also South Africa's position on Agenda 2063. To start off immediately, the African Union member states in September 25 adopted Agenda 2063 as an overarching framework with the vision of an integrated and prosperous Africa. If we take a step backwards and just to look at the genesis of it all, in 1980, the OAU, which is, as you all know, the predecessor to the AU, at the extraordinary summit in Lagos, adopted the Lagos Plan of Action, which was destined to be a step towards regional integration. Lagos Plan of Action, as well as the Lagos Final Act, were translated into a concrete form in Abuja in Nigeria in June 1999, where the AU heads of state and government signed the what was then known as the Abuja Treaty.
I'm going to interrupt you because it's the second time you first started off by referring to September 2025.
That's correct. I said 25? Yeah. I sincerely apologize.
You're saying,
it must be.
You say June 1999.
Okay, continue. I apologize, Chair. I must have got rattled by the ICTS cluster. I apologize. I will give more attention. Okay. So, Chair, thank you very much. So, in June 1991, 1991. The heads of state and government signed what was called the Abuja Treaty, establishing the African Economic Community. And this framework then became the founding framework of Agenda 2063. The aim of the IEC is to promote economic, social, and cultural development as well as economic integration on the African continent. Now, and on this one, I will make sure, sir, that I say 2030. At the Golden Jubilee of the OAU, the AU adopted a solemn declaration which mandated the assembly, of creating an agenda that will define development in Africa for the next 50 years. And in this regard, what then became known as the AU Agenda 2063, its seven aspirations are, and this unfortunately I will have to read to you, sir, because this is the basis, it's the sort of the philosophical and practical basis of the AU Agenda 2063. A prosperous Africa based on inclusive growth and sustainable development, an integrated continent politically united and based on the ideals of Pan-Africanism, an Africa of good governance, respect for human rights, justice, and the rule of law, a peaceful and secure Africa, an Africa with strong cultural identity, values, and ethics, an Africa whose development is people-driven, especially relying on the potential offered by its youth and women. And then finally, an Africa that is strong and an influential global player and partner. What is important is also to note that the time frame of 50 years for the implementation of Agenda 2063 is symbolic, as it will be the centenary of the founding of the OAU, which, as we have already said, is the precursor to the African Union. Now, Agenda 2063 in focus. It is the continent's strategic framework for its socio-economic transformation over the next 50 years. It's about the Africa we want, and that has become the battle cry of the African Union, the Africa we want to build in the future based on its seven aspirations. It seeks to place the continent on a developmental path towards the realization of the African Union's vision of an integrated, prosperous and peaceful Africa driven by its own citizens, representing a dynamic force in the international arena. It builds and accelerates the implementation of the continental initiative for transformative, inclusive growth and sustainable socio-economic development. South Africa's National Development Plan is aligned with Agenda 2063 as well as with Agenda 2030 of the UN. In addition to Agenda 2063, the first five 10-year implementation plans have been adopted by the AU. And the first 10-year implementation plan identifies a number of flagship programs and initiatives which should be realized by 2023. Now, if we look at the flagship project, one of the most important ones, the annual African Forum. It has been transformed or renamed as the African Economic Platform, the AEP, and it is to be a platform for the private sector, government, and civil society to discuss developments, constraints, as well as measures to be taken to realize Agenda 2063. The first AEP took place in Mauritius in 2017. I have, unfortunately, to report that a second one has not as yet taken place. The African Passport and Free Movement of People, this was adopted at the summit in January 2018, this year. Summit adopted the treaty establishing the African Economic Community relating to the free movement of persons, rights of residence, and the right of establishment, what is commonly known as the Free Movement Protocol and its implementation roadmap. South Africa has some serious concerns, unfortunately, with this draft protocol, and has not adhered to it as yet. I can just mention to you, Chair and Honourable Members, that while South Africa supports the majority of the provisions of the AU draft protocol, as far as the free movement of people is concerned, it has noted a number of reservations. And these reservations it has clarified as being, or it has proposed what it is called enablers or preconditions that must be met before the implementation of the protocol. I can also add, Honourable Members, that this is not only a South African point of view, a South African stance, it is concerns shared by other SADC member states and other African states as well. Now, some of the enablers which we have identified are the following. The existence of peace, security, and stability, including the silencing of the guns on the continent, the effective civil registration systems, reliable movement control systems, machine-readable passports compliant to international standards, bilateral return agreements, and compatibility of IT systems at the ports of entry to facilitate exchange of information, and to burden sharing regarding the protection of asylum seekers and refugees. The single African transport market, what is also commonly known as the open air, this initiative was launched in January 2018 at the summit. I can also add here, Chair and Honourable Members, South Africa played a crucial role in the launching of SATA. Our Minister of Transport, launched officially SATA in January of this year. And the purpose of SATA is to harmonize and liberalize African air transport markets. Another very important flagship project, sir, is the silencing of the guns by 2020. The master roadmap for silencing the guns by 2020 was adopted by the Assembly in January 2017, and work is ongoing. The Assembly appointed a high-level representative for silencing the guns in the person of Mr. Ramtane Lamamra of Algeria. South Africa's involvement, Honourable Members, in conflict areas on the continent, like the DRC, like Somalia, like Sudan, is indicative of our commitment to the silencing of the guns by 2020. The other project of crucial importance is the Continental Free Trade Area, which was launched at an extraordinary session of the AU Assembly on the 21st of March 2018 in Kigali, Rwanda. It will be recalled that South Africa at this occasion did not sign the AFCFTA because South Africa still had to conduct some internal consultations as far as the AFCFTA is concerned. However, South Africa then did sign the Continental Free Trade Area Agreement during the July 2018 summit in Nouakchott, Islamic Republic of Mauritania. And the Department of Trade and Industry has indicated that it will do the necessary to try and have the agreement ratified by December of this year. Some of the other flagship projects, sir, which we have indicated and that are not making that are not making the progress that we would like to see at this stage, but progress is ongoing. It's like the integrated high-speed train network for the continent. A comprehensive feasibility study is underway, and the network is founded on the interests of each country to link up with its neighbors. The establishment of an African financial institutions like the African Central Bank, African Investment Bank, the African Monetary Fund, and the Pan-African Stock Exchange are also envisaged. However, member states are slow in ratifying the instruments for the African Investment Bank and the African Monetary Fund. The same goes for the African Commodity Strategy. The strategy is being updated by the African Union Commission to include the transformation and processing of commodities and the development of regional value change. Also, as far as the Grand Inga Dam project is concerned, a bilateral agreement has been signed between South Africa and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Negotiations with Nigeria and Egypt are underway to get them on board. Unfortunately, we also have to report that the World Bank has withdrawn its support for this project. The African Outer Space Strategy. The Assembly adopted the statute on the establishment of the African Space Agency in January 2018, and I am sure we will be hearing more of this project. The Africa Virtual and E-University aims at increasing access to tertiary and continuing education in Africa in multiple sites at the same time. And then the Pan-African E-Network envisages putting in place policies and strategies that will lead to a transformative e-application and services on the continent. The advancement of all Agenda 2063 projects is steered by the AU Ministerial Follow-Up Committee. And the committee, the last substantive committee meeting of the committee took place in Nouakchott in Mauritania in July 2018. A meeting was supposed to take place before that in May of this year, but unfortunately because of concerns, it was supposed to take place in Libya, but because of concerns about security, it did not take place. And the mandate of the Ministerial Committee is centered on strategic orientation, efficiency, financing and accountability in the delivery of Agenda 2063 and its first 10-year implementation plan and successive plans. Now, South Africa's national position on Agenda 2063. South Africa continues to support regional and continental processes to effectively respond to crises, promote peace and security, strengthen regional integration, significantly increase intra-African trade, and champion sustainable development on the continent. South Africa supports the development objectives and aims of Agenda 2063 in the context of strengthening African cooperation, integration, and for promoting inclusive development, peace, and security. The support of the agenda is informed by the understanding that South Africa's destiny is intricately linked to that of the continent. South Africa believes that regional and continental integration are the foundation for Africa's socio-economic development and political unity and are essential for the continent's prosperity and security. Due to the alignment of Agenda 2063 and the National Development Plan, one can safely say that the implementation of Agenda 2063 is already integrated into South African government plans and programs. Some government departments and state organs have already started to integrate Agenda 2063 into their programs. In this regard, I can mention, for example, that the Department of Arts and Culture hosts Africa Month on a regular basis, and the aim of the various activities that are organized is to give life to the AU Agenda 2063 of a vision, to the AU Agenda 2063 vision of an African cultural renaissance. Further, I can also just mention, Chair, that South Africa believes that developmental partners outside the continent could assist African states in their goal of establishing a single integrated market through channeling investments into programs that benefit the flagship programs of Agenda 2063. The private sector should be engaged in raising resources for financing the agenda and to expedite the implementation for flagship programs such as the Grand INGA project and to encourage research and development of the green and blue economies as well as renewable energy sources. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pedro. All members, there we have a very concise presentation on the EU Agenda 2063. Can I start off with my comments and then you can also comment on it? Just two aspects. Mr. Pedro, when you look at slide 5, where you are talking about the last bullet there, the last part of that whole paragraph. It says, driven by its own citizens. Now, having participated in projects like NAPAD, we recognize that this driven by citizens has become a problem because you can't have a one-size-fits-all approach. The development in the different countries of the continent is different. Can you tell us what South Africa is doing to make sure that Agenda 2063 is driven by our citizens? You repeating that as well on slide 7, where you are talking about the annual African Forum and the civil society meeting that was held in Mauritius of 2017. Can you then link the B part of that question by saying whether there were, I know I'm not going to go into the logistics of it, sorry, the detail of it, but to just say, were there participation in Mauritius of South African civil society organizations? Thank you. Honorable members, any additional comments, questions? Looks like we don't have.
I think my starting point first is with the Pan African Parliament role, and also in terms of monitoring the accountability of the EU, but also the absence of a representation from this committee to the PAP. I just want to make a specific recommendation that perhaps at some stage, maybe to the House, that at least perhaps yourself as a chair of this committee, so we make a recommendation that you be a member of the PAP. The problem is that most of the time the members of that PAP from Parliament tend to be the presiding officer who are not taking part in the committee that are supposed to be monitoring and do oversight you know, on these issues. And therefore there is no link between the committee and what is happening in the AU, and also the role of PAP in monitoring. Because I think that's something, one of the presentations that we received from the department, the absence that is linked to the perhaps leading problems with the PAP in terms of monitoring what is the decisions that are the implementation of decisions that are taken at the AU level. Well, I see there are a number of strategies here in the program that most of them have not been implemented. And therefore, you need that role of a PAP to ensure accountability and monitoring. But we won't know whether PAP is playing that role because we're not directly represented in this committee. In the PAP. That's why I'm coming with this suggestion of you representing this committee in the PAP. I think there's an anomaly there, where there's a committee that deals with international relations, but then it is not represented in this forum where these decisions are taken. Then coming to the question, on the page 10, on the establishment of African financial institutions, it is said here that member states are slow in ratifying instruments for African Investment Bank and African Monetary Fund. I just want to check if South Africa has ratified this, and also how many other countries have ratified, so that we have a sense of how many countries have ratified this. The next question is on the Grand Inga Dam project, on the same page, that the World Bank has withdrawn its support. I just first want to know what kind of support it was providing, and also what other institutions that have replaced World Bank in whatever role World Bank was playing. So far, those are the two questions.
Thank you very much. If you will allow me, Honorable Fan, just when you raised the question about the Pan-African Parliament and the AU, can we also ask you to use that to also explain to us what is the relationship between the PAP and the AU? Any further comments, questions? Mahoe was covered. You're covered. Thank you very much. Let's leave to you then.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Let me try and respond to some of the issues that you have raised. Also with regard to the issue of some of the projects being not the project, sorry, you said it was on slide number 5. Apologies, Chair. Thank you. Let me, Chair, let me start with an admission that this is, while this is part of the vision of the African Union, I must admit to you that there are still lots of shortcomings as far as the integration of the citizens is concerned into the projects of the AU, into its functioning itself. I think, and I can safely say this, at the last summit meeting, this was once again one of the issues that was raised to the extent that the AUC chair admitted that we are not, as an AU organization, we are not doing enough to involve our citizens in the AU. In fact, he said that the citizens of the continent do not know the AU and does not know what the AU is doing. And in that regard, what the AUC chair was thinking about, sir, was to have more AU to people contact in order to promote the AU, what it is doing, and what and how to involve the citizens much more. Having said that, sir, as I say, the admission is, as an organization, it is not doing enough to involve the citizens. Having said that, as far as South Africa is concerned, maybe we have the same issues involving the as far as involving the citizens are concerned. But at the same time, I can mention, for example, I did mention that the Department of Arts and Culture, for example, is celebrating Africa Month, and the idea then is also to inform the public about the African Union, and for this time, I think. And I really speak under correction, sir, but I think it was the first time that South Africa celebrated this year a Civil Servants Day together with the African Union. And to promote the AU and what it is trying to do. So to answer your question, sir. Yes, we are certainly not doing enough, and we should be doing more to involve the citizens, but there are signs that at least some small steps have been taken. And that is as far as South Africa is concerned. As far as the AU is concerned, it intends to organize what it calls promotional visits to various African countries, also to inform people about its work and what it is trying to achieve. As far as civil society is concerned, sir, and here we have a very practical problem. South Africa, there is a civil society organization that is attached to the AU in South Africa, but it has not met for some time. A meeting of civil society organizations was supposed to have been organized in South Africa by the AU in May of this year, but it had to be abandoned because the AU, unfortunately, did not do its homework as far as contacting civil society organizations are concerned, or getting Durko involved, more involved in contacting these organizations, and it did not contact the civil society, that organization that existed already, but with whom the AU had no contact. So to answer your question, sir, is the meeting finally with civil society did not take place. We understand from the AU that they want to have another meeting with civil society, maybe sometime this year if it is still possible. They've indicated then they will hope to go about it the right way to organize the meeting, because obviously they should inform Durko, and Durko should inform the other ministries involved as far as civil society is concerned. On the question of PAP, the Pan-African Parliament chair, as you may be aware, came in for a lot of criticism at the recent AU summit in Nouakchott in Mauritania. The reason for that is that the Permanent Representative Committee, those are the ambassadors that sit in Addis Ababa, and they form the Permanent Representative Committee. They did an audit on PAP, and the audit was extremely negative, especially as far as governance issues at PAP were concerned, to the extent that the assembly, that is the president's, the assembly of the AU mandated, or instructed, I should say, the AU commission to organize an independent audit of the Pan-African Parliament that is supposed to be finalized in October of this year. And that would be both an audit of financial and governance issues. The executive committee of the AU, that is the ministers of foreign affairs, the ministers decided or proposed rather that the budget of the PAP should not be released for 2019 until such time as the audit has been completed. However, salaries and operational costs would be ring-fenced. So the people that works for PAP would still get paid, and they would still be able to pay their services. It was the assembly also decided that all staff issues should be put on hold until such time as the audit has been finalized. I can mention this, Chair. The President of Parliament indicated that he was under attack. He indicated that there was a smear campaign against him, and that was because of the fact that he was re-elected as President of the Pan-African Parliament for another four-year term. He also indicated that there was this smear or this campaign of hatred against him, which included what he called activities by the SABC. To the extent, he said, that he feared for his life. You can imagine, this was taken seriously, Hence, the issues are to be investigated. I hope I have covered the issues of PAP there, sir, and also its relationship with the AU. On the financial institutions and the South Africa's ratification, I do not have that information, sir. So I want to say I don't know, but I am not aware that South Africa ratified any of the financial protocols. And then World Bank support. The World Bank was going to finance the initial study for the feasibility study. Thank you very much, sir. The World Bank was going to finance the feasibility study of the Grand Inga Dam project. It has then withdrawn its support. But let me just add, while I'm saying that, sir, at the same time, there have been various feasibility studies on the Grand Inga Dam project that has been done in the past. So this one was for the final phase of the Grand Inga Dam project, which the World Bank has now withdrawn its support. I am not aware of any other major financial institutions that have been approached in that regard, because to a very large extent this project has been dealt with in the presidency. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Honorable Dikale. We did receive your notice, the apology, actually, that you're busy with taking Parliament to the people. Good that you could make it. Hi, do you want to follow?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Thanks for the response. But I would like to just say that the department should still provide us with the information with regard to whether South Africa has ratified and to how many other countries that have ratified, and also the names of those countries and the names of the countries that have not yet ratified. Secondly, Chair, on the flagship projects, if we could also get details in writing with regard to, for example, the annual Africa Forum, that deals with the issues of development constraints, if we could have a detail with regard to what is really taking place there, so that we know whether there's a progress or there's no progress. But also on the African passport and the free movement of people, if we could have the information with regard to the status of that particular flagship program. And perhaps general with all these flagship projects, their current status in terms of implementation, if we could get that report. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are they all clear to you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Let me, Honorable Khaled, do you want to make a comment? You look like you. Do you want to formulate your comment while I just make mine quickly? Or are you ready to go?
Chairperson, thank you very much, and I'm happy that my apology reached your table. I have been asking my consultant, with my colleague here, that did you talk about this one? He said yes. This one said yes. So everything was being raised, so I don't have to repeat or delay as further.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I must just, on the question of civil society that you've answered, make the following comments. You see, the approach that we have in Africa is that we work regionally and then consolidate continentally. Now, we in SADC has been the best, that we had the SADC Civil Society Forum, where A.B. de Klerk was in Sangoko,
ran that SADC Civil Society Forum. AB is no longer there. He's back in South Africa. And we live in the same area and we talk. And he's looking at the role that he can play. Now, you're saying that the AU tried to communicate with civil society in South Africa, they failed. What we did with NATA, working with Deputy Minister Aziz Bahati at that time, was that we had in South Africa that civil society forum. And coincidentally, I was the chair. That was before 2001. That thing collapsed then, and it has never been resuscitated. But also, the civil society organizations were particularly strong within the religious sector. I mean, all across the continent, I spoke to muftis from Nigeria and to imams from Somalia, and we were able to get civil society together. Advice to the AU might be to look at the religious sector as an important sector because they exist in all other parts of the country. We have had the All Africa Conference of Churches. I don't know whether they are still functioning. However, the work of the AACC was done by South Africa because we were able to get the funding, and the funding came from Norway to convene a civil society forum on NEPAD that was addressed by President Thabo Mbeki, and we also had Honorable Kenneth Kaunda as the guest speaker. Should it be that anybody in Durban wants the notes of that meeting, they can communicate with me. I'll have to go back in my archives to see whether I still have it. But there's wonderful reports on the progress. Because you see, the difficulty that we're having is that if we think that the politicians, the heads of state and government, is going to solve these things on their own, they are not going to. Now, Honorable Dikgale is the member of the Traditional Leaders Forum in South Africa. There's traditional leaders all over the continent. SADC may want to look at how do you link up with forums like those. Just the final one to say is that Africa is a young continent. Both South Africa and SADC and the AU would have to find a way in which you engage more strategically and meaningfully with the youth. If we lose our youth out of any plan that we have, that plan is not going to work because it will not be sustainable. And we know it from experience. With that being said, we come to the end of the presentation, which means that we also come to the end of our meeting. Let me just say to you, thank you very much for the preparations that you have done and for the competent manner in which you have presented this. From the comments by Honorable Khai, it is apparent that there are so very many questions that's hanging. Can I ask the parliamentary liaison officer? There's the booklet on Agenda 2063. Can you make those copies available to Martin so that he can put it in our pigeonholes? Do you have copies here in Parliament? Please. Right? Give him 10 copies. I don't think that's the one. Let me look at that one. I've got him some. No, it's bigger than that. The one that I know is bigger than that. Okay, make this one available.
It's all blue.
Where was it? Please. Meeting man. Always. Honorable members, do you have copies of NEPAD? Because NEPAD still exists.
It's going to change.
Is there anyone who would want to get copies of that? Can you help us with that? I know we had an APAT office at the African Development Bank in Midrand, and that office has also, is it still exists? Okay. Who was the young man from Azapo that was working there? The first person who worked in that office. He was a trade unionist as well. But it was interesting that we appointed a person from Azapo to run that office for us, and he was doing excellent work. But give us an APAT document as well. Please, parliamentary liaison officer. Honorable Khai, you have the last word.
No, not on the presentation. I just wanted to have to go back just for a second on the issue of the program, if you allow me. That we, because of the few number of days that we deal with when we go for oversight, I wanted that perhaps we agree. I see that the provincial week starts on the 16th, but which is Tuesday. So I wanted to make a request that we agree in this committee that then our oversight will start on the 15th on Monday, meaning that the travel will be on Sunday, so that at least we have more days for oversight. Because if we start on Tuesday, it means we only have 2.5 days, 3 days. But then if we arrive on Sunday, then we can use Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, like we did in Limpopo. So I just wanted that we agree in the meeting here. I know Monday is a vulgar day, but let's agree here so that we can negotiate with our principals on that.
Are there any dissenting voices on that? Are we agreed?
What are I left?
Okay, let's write.
Honorable Khai is running far ahead. Let's have a proposed program which sticks to that and see in the area that we are going to, how many of the projects are we going to be seeing so that we can then determine how many days do we need. So in your preparation of the program, Chair, you can also subconsciously take into consideration what Honorable Khai is suggesting. But let's not cut it dry and hard now, okay, until then.
Can I appeal differently, Honourable Ntebe, by trying to answer you?
Yes.
I think the dates has been set. Is that week of the 15th of October?
Yes.
That's agreed.
Yes.
The province has been set.
Yes.
It's KZN.
Yes.
The targets in the province has to a large extent been set.
Yes.
It is the Dube Industrial Port. But also, we know to go back to the port itself. Now, having been there alone, Honorable Kaula and myself, when we visited the last visit,
yes,
if you do a tour of that port, you need half a day.
Yes.
The port is massive. Right? So with that, Honorable Ntebe, I'm trying to plead with you that we indeed accept, because I think we will fill the program. There is also, other than the Dube Industrial Port, the Volkswagen plant that we want to look at. We have had launched this last week this IT project, which was launched by DTI. We have the furniture manufacturing excellent award to a young woman in KZN who would want to visit. I'm sure from DTI side we'll get enough. From the Department of Economic and Business Development, sorry, from that side, Honorable Khai and myself can meet within the next week to finalize that. But as we say, the approach that we develop, Honorable Ntebe, is that Klubeka and Grace communicates with the departments, and they say, this is where we're going. Can you give us the sites? But at the same time, Honorable Khai and myself, as I've done now, also mention sites that we consider to be important. The problem that we've had up until now is, in fact, that we have too many sites, not that we have too little. And therefore, the plea from Honorable Khai, let's start on the Monday, then we can. I hope that there's no logistical problem from your end, but I hear you saying that it must then be time well utilized. And we can guarantee you now that if it is KZN, it will be time well utilized. Are you okay with that, Onumtepe?
No, I'm persuaded. I'll take you off camera.
Thank you very much. Then also, I've noticed that if we work on that Friday morning, members leave. So we'll use the Friday for traveling. So please, honorable members, don't now arrange to fly Thursday.
I really thought you said you want to fill up Friday.
You are the youngest, honorable members. You're supposed to have the energy. Honorable members, that being said, can we agree that we adjourn?
Yes.
Thank you very, very much.
You.
See you in Gauteng next week.
We were new. We protected. It was a last minute thing, and I had to run up and down for the people.